If you have a Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. That's in the New Testament, the letter of John, the gospel writer John. He also wrote three letters that are in your New Testament. And if you want to follow along in the Red Pew Bible, it's on page 1082. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. And just start off with a question that I think some of us have wrestled with. I think probably nearly all of us, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, have you ever wondered, have you ever asked the question, am I really a Christian? It's not an easy question to ask, is it? It's a haunting question, but it's a really important question. Am I really a Christian? Do I really have, I mean, I know I may be a church member and I may go to church and I may be involved in all kinds of service, but do I really have eternal life? And how do I know that? How do I know that? This letter answers that question. If you've never read this letter in the New Testament, 1 John, you need to read it because he deals with it. In fact, he tells us the purpose of this book in this letter itself. In chapter 5, in verse 13, he says, I have written these things to you. Don't you love it when they tell you why they're writing this letter? He says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. In other words, he wrote this letter to deal with this question of assurance of salvation. How do I know that I'm really a Christian? I can't think of many things more important than knowing whether or not you are really saved, whether you really have God's forgiveness, whether or not you really are going to heaven when you die, whether or not you really will go to be with him after this life. And that's a question that they were asking back then. I mean, Christians have been asking this question from the very beginning. And when this letter was originally written, there were different kinds of ideas floating around, just like there are today, different kinds of spirituality, different kinds of teaching, different viewpoints. And believers were getting confused. Okay, who is God and what is sin and how do I live as a Christian and how do I know that I'm a Christian? What is the gospel that I need to believe? And there were all these counterfeits. And when there are counterfeits, you have to know how to discern the genuine thing. And John gives some very practical tests in this letter by which we can discern the true gospel, the true Christ, the true faith, and whether or not we possess it. And so he gives these tests in this letter. And the first one that he gives, the first test that he gives is this. It's in chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. And so I'll read it. Verse 5, chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is God's word to us. So here's the first test that John gives in this book. It's whether or not we walk in the light. To walk in the light is to have fellowship with God. To walk in the darkness is not to have fellowship with God. And so here's the big idea of this text. Because God is light, we must not walk in darkness and deny our sins. Instead, we must walk in the light and confess our sins. That's his big idea. We must not walk in darkness and deny our sins, but rather walk in the light and confess our sins. In other words, those who walk in darkness and deny their sins should not think they're Christians. They should not presume to have eternal life. Those who do walk in the light and do confess their sins should have confidence that they are Christians and that they do have eternal life. So, here's what we'll do. We'll look at this statement that God is light, and then we'll look at these two alternatives, these two tests. walking negatively, walking in the darkness and denying your sins, and then positively walking in the light and confessing our sins. So he says in verse 5 that God is light. He says, this is the message we heard from him, that's Jesus, and declare to you, God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. Now, every one of us here has experiences. If you have physical eyes to see, unless you're blind, but if you have physical eyes to see, you know the experience of light and darkness, right? We need light to get around, to see each other, to do all kinds of things in our lives, and yet also most of us would agree we need darkness to get to sleep at night. We want light for certain things. We want darkness to get to sleep at night, but when John speaks of light and darkness, he's using them as metaphors. He's using them symbolically. Light is what? Well, light is truth. Darkness is error. Light is good, darkness is evil. Light is purity, darkness is impurity. Light is righteousness, darkness is unrighteousness. And just as light and darkness are mutually exclusive, so for example, you put on the light in a room, and what happens? Or you put out the light in the room, and darkness floods the room. You turn on the light, and the darkness flees, right? They're mutually exclusive. They can't coexist. And that's why John says that God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. In other words, there never has been, there never is, and there never will be any sin, evil, impurity in God, because God is light. And the fact that God is light tells us that he's morally perfect and pure, but it also speaks of the fact that he reveals himself to us. Just as light shines forth, so God shines forth in revealing himself to us. And we know that light can be desirable and comforting on the one hand. It can also be threatening on the other. Isn't that true? Like the nightlight in a hallway for a child that's afraid of the dark is what? It's comforting. But a searchlight, a police helicopter searchlight, you know, chasing a convicted criminal is what? It's threatening. Light can be comforting, light can be threatening, and when it comes to the God of the Bible, the God who is light, the Bible is clear that nobody is neutral. Nobody's neutral when it comes to the God of light. In fact, in John chapter 3, so the same follower of Jesus who wrote this letter wrote the Gospel of John, and this is what he writes in John chapter 3, verse 19. He says, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed this message that God is light. He embodies God's light. He is God's light, the light of the world. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. You see, there's no neutrality when it comes to the God who is light. And so our response to God's light is our response to God, and how we respond to Jesus, the light who has come into the world, will show our attitude to God who sent his son, Jesus Christ. And that brings us back to this first test that John is pressing on his readers. Number one, because God is light, we must not walk in darkness and deny our sins. Because God is light, we must not walk in darkness and deny our sins. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. And so what is walking in darkness? It's walking in sin. Now, Christians still sin. There's a difference between kind of falling into sin and walking, persisting, pursuing sin. What is sin? Sin is that which is contrary to God's character, to his laws, to his ways. And so in the very next chapter, you read this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness. So there's two problems with walking in darkness and claiming to have fellowship with God. He says, first, if you're walking in darkness and claim to have this relationship with God, he says, you're lying. As a pastor, I've come across many people who claim to have a relationship with God. Yes, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But they're living in a way that denies that claim. And you know, the first person that I came across like that was me. Not when I was a pastor, but there was a time in my life that was a pastor, I certainly struggled with sin. But there was a time in my life when I definitely pursued and was comfortable with sin. In my teens and my early 20s, I would tell you that I was a Christian. I would tell you that I believed in God, but I was living in a way that was completely contrary to that profession of faith. I was telling a lie. This is really common. You know, I think of more than once I've heard from people, like for example, a husband who leaves his wife, he's unfaithful to his wife, and he's with another woman, and he says, you know what? He says, I've never felt closer to God than I am now. You know what John would say to that? He would say, that's a lie. It's a lie. You know, I think of cohabitating couples who say, you know, they're living together, they claim to be Christians, they say, you know what, we prayed about it, God's okay with it, we feel fine, we feel like we're close to God. John would say that's a lie. It's a lie. You think about the religious scholar who has decided to ditch the Bible. He no longer believes it. It's just a human document. He says, now I feel like now my faith has wings. I feel free. I no longer have to feel, you know, entrapped by this book, and I feel, in fact, closer to God than ever. John would say that's a lie. It's a lie. The Christian employee stealing from his boss, the Christian teen living a double life on the weekends, the church leader with a secret porn addiction, the chatty church lady addicted to gossip, and so on and so on. John says, you're lying. And the reason you're lying is that God hates those things. He's opposed to them. And so how can you do these things and continue to persist in these things and claim to have fellowship with the God who hates those things? If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. According to John, saying you believe something to be true means nothing if you don't practice the truth. You know, I've heard it before, right? I'm a Christian, but I'm not a practicing Christian. Have you ever heard that before? If I had a nickel for every time someone said that to me, I'd have at least 30 cents. You know? I mean, John would say, if you say you're a Christian but just not practicing, don't call yourself a Christian. Right? We're not talking about a hobby. This is not playing the clarinet. Right? Occasionally I do this. I'm not practicing right now. You'd say, no, a Christian is someone who has the life of Christ, a relationship with Christ. It touches all of life. And so Christians are those who not only believe the truth, but behave according to the truth, not perfectly, not flawlessly, not always consistently, but truthfully. A true gospel believer is concerned with true gospel behavior. He or she is concerned with practicing, doing the truth. And according to John, to say, I have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, it is to tell a lie, but it's also to lie to ourselves. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we can guess that in this original context, there were some spiritual teachers who were claiming not to have sin. We don't know the details, but you know, there are many spiritual teachers today who never talk about sin. You should not read their books. You should not go to their conferences, and you should not listen to their podcasts. Because once they talk about God and talk about spiritual things and leave out sin, they're leaving out something essential in knowing God and knowing Christ and following him. To ignore sin or to claim you have no sin, it's self-deception. It's lying to yourself. You know, the scary thing about lying to yourself is that you don't know you're lying to yourself. You lie to others, you know you're lying, that's evil, it's wrong. But when you lie to yourself, you don't even know you're lying to yourself. And then look at verse 10. He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So what John is saying is that if we claim to have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we not only lie to others, but we lie to ourselves and we make God a liar. Because God has testified that we are sinners. We don't want to do that because God is light. We must not walk in darkness and deny our sins. So that's the negative test. Don't presume to be a Christian if you're living like that. So what should we do instead? Here's where things get good. We should come into the light. This is the positive test that he gives. Number two, because God is light. So number one was because God is light, we must not walk in the darkness and deny our sins. Number two, here's the positive test. Because God is light, we must walk in the light and confess our sins. So look at verse 7. This is good news. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin, not just a sin or one sin or some sin, but all sin. All sin. Do you see that? Does that sound like good news to your ears? There's a way to be cleansed of sin. How? He says, the blood of Jesus. You say, blood? What? What? What is blood? Blood is representing of the life. And the fact is, Jesus lived a life without sin. And when he died on the cross for sinners, he paid the penalty of sin. And his righteous life was lived in place of sinners so that God can forgive us, so that we can be cleansed by his sacrifice on the cross. But there's an if there. There's an if. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, If you want God's cleansing, you must come into God's light. This is where you need to understand the gospel, which means good news. By nature, we're kind of like rats in the darkness, right? You turn the light on, we want to hide, right? I mean, like the criminal on the run with the searchlight over him, we don't want to come out into the light. Why? Because the light exposes us. The light exposes us. It's in the light of God that our filthiness can be seen. We're ashamed, we're dirty, we don't want anyone to know about our double life, our dark secrets. And this is one reason why rich and successful people commit suicide when something comes to the light. Why? Because I can't bear the shame of others knowing what I've done. Well, we're not so different from that, are we? But what if this same God whose light exposes us promises to cleanse us? That's what he's promised to do. How do we know that? Because he sent his son for that. Jesus went to the cross willingly to shed his blood so that we can be cleansed, forgiven, restored in fellowship with God. And not only with God, but look what he says, with one another. He says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You almost expect him to say fellowship with God. That would be true. That would be logical. But he surprises us. He says, fellowship with one another. In other words, fellowship with other believers who have also come into God's light and have also been cleansed by the blood of God's Son. So when you're walking in darkness, one of the first things you avoid is Christian fellowship. It's true, right? Like, nah, maybe I won't go to church. Maybe I'll sneak in late, leave early. Maybe I won't talk to people. Or if I do, I'll keep it superficial. I'll go to the Bible study, I'll fake it. I'll fake the praying, I'll fake the discussion. No, you aren't real. You have a hard time with Christian fellowship. And one of the things that John is doing here in this letter is he's keeping us from trying to think of our relationship with God as completely separate from our relationship with others. Don't do that, right? When we observe communion, it's not just about relationship with God, it's relationship with others. And John, in this letter, he's again and again not allowing us to separate love for God from love for other people, other Christians, fellowship with God from fellowship with other believers. Probably these false teachers were saying, it's just enough to have this relationship with God. We don't have to have fellowship. We don't have to love one another. And John is saying, no, assurance of salvation comes not only from what we believe, but how we live, how we love, especially other believers in Jesus. So sin has this way of clogging the arteries of fellowship, doesn't it? It creates a blockage in our relationship with God. It creates a blockage in our relationship with others, and it ultimately leads to death and darkness. So what do we do? What do you do if you're here and you think, yeah, I think I have been walking in darkness. I have been living a double life. I have been telling a lie about God and about my relationship with him. What do you do if you're not practicing the truth? How exactly do we come into the light? What does that look like? Well, it's spelled out in verse 9. This is what he says. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean to confess? To confess is to agree with God. To confess to God about my sin is to agree with God about my sin. It's to not minimize my sin or blame shift on others or claim that I'm just a victim of my circumstances or my childhood or my upbringing. No, it's to say, like King David did to God, Lord, I have done what is evil in your sight. That's what it is to confess. And it includes confessing to God, but it also includes appropriate confession to other people, right? James says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Appropriate confession to others that we have hurt and deceived. In fact, every Christian is called to confess, right? When you get baptized, what do? You confess your faith, but you part of that confession is, I confess that I'm a sinner. I came to understand that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. You do that at your baptism. You confess that when you become a Christian. You confess that when you invite Christ to forgive you and to save you. Every time that we observe the Lord's Supper, we are confessing that we have a need to be forgiven and cleansed because of Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And that's a distinguishing mark of a true believer, is that he or she does not conceal sin, but rather confesses it. It's one of the evidences that you're a true believer. Now, what gives us confidence to do that? How can we have confidence? Because it takes a lot of confidence to do that, doesn't it? It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to get real with each other, to get real with God. Well, this is why we can have confidence, because as John says, he, God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and shed his blood, he took care not only of the debt of sin, but the dirt of sin. Right? The debt of sin leads to forgiveness. Jesus dealing with the dirt of sin leads to our cleansing. And God, and John says that God is faithful and righteous to do both of these things, to both forgive our debt and to forget and to cleanse us from our dirt. And that God is faithful to do this means that he will keep his promise. He's not going to change his mind. So if you're here today, are you sure God's going to forgive me? Yes, God has promised to do that. He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive anyone who comes to him asking for forgiveness in Jesus' name. But God is not only faithful to do that, it also, John says, that God is righteous to do that. It means that God's justice can be upheld, his righteousness can be upheld. God can be righteous in forgiving guilty sinners because Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. And because God has promised to forgive and cleanse us in Christ, and because God is righteous in doing that very thing, there's no good reason for us not to come into the light. There's no good reason for you to stay in darkness. And you have every reason to come to Christ and be cleansed and forgiven in him. You know, in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 28:13, says this, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. I began today by asking that really difficult and sometimes haunting question, am I really a Christian? How do I know that I have eternal life? John has so much to say about this in this letter, but this first test that he invites us to put to ourselves is this question that we all need to ask ourselves: am I walking in darkness and denying my sins, or am I walking in the light and confessing my sins? That's a question that every one of us needs to ask, not only in the quiet of our own hearts, but in the congregation, with God's people, as we have fellowship together with one another, and as we worship the God who is light and his Son who has revealed God's light to us. Let's pray. Father, your word says that you are the one who dwells in unapproachable light. We could never stand under your holy, penetrating gaze apart from the blood of Christ. And yet because of him, because of what he did in dying for us, we can come to you. We can walk into the light. We can be forgiven and cleansed. And so we do that, Lord. We confess. We come to you in Jesus' name, asking you to forgive and cleanse us, and so that we would have fellowship not only with you, but true fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.